Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for braving the cold weather and coming on out. Today is Thursday, December 6th, and it is now 6:11 p.m., and we will begin our final board meeting for the year 2018. Call to order. And we'll begin with an attendance. We'll start on the end with our head of school.
Courtney Fass, Courtney
Lockney, Jed Donahue,
Angela Angini,
Dwayne Sims,
Megan Newberry,
Sarah Stubb,
Natalie Marciani,
and Zeke Allison.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everyone. I want to pause here very quickly to acknowledge our former board chair and former leader. All right, that's right. Clap it up, man. Yvonne Nass. Yvonne, great to see you.
Thanks.
We love you. We miss you. And you brighten up the room every time. So thank you very much for coming out. We appreciate it. We'll dive right into our agenda. Obviously, as I mentioned, today, Thursday, December 6th, we did not receive any pre-notifications with respect to public comment, but yes, please, if you will. Thank you very much. If we have any, though, in attendance in the audience, please feel free to make yourself known now. Any public comment available?
Happy holidays.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Donovan. We appreciate it. Happy holidays to you as well. Thank you very much. All right. So we'll dive right in to the next bullet point, team, on our agenda. And that'll be the review and approval of the October 25th, 2018 public board meeting minutes. As always is the case, they were distributed by our wonderful secretary. For your attention and review. Please do take a moment now to review, and then of course I'll hear a motion in a few minutes, or take a moment, and we'll hear a motion to approve, a second, and then obviously answer any other questions or what have you we may have around those minutes. May I hear a motion to approve our meeting minutes from October 25th, 2018? Anyone?
I seem to be missing mine.
Right? Came later, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And came on the second go round. Do you have a packet? Yeah. There you go. We'll take an additional minute. In the interim, are there any questions, comments, concerns around the meeting minutes from October 25th as in our presentation? Okay.
One amendment is just I was not present.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, Jed. We appreciate that. Duly noted. Thank you very much. So a motion then, if we will hear, being no other questions or comments, concerns, a motion to approve the minutes from October 25th with the amendment to the attendance.
I make a motion.
Angela Angini, so moved. Any second?
Second.
And Sarah Staub, thank you very much, was seconded. All in favor, report with an aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? So moved and passes. Thank you very much, everyone. As we go into jump into our committee reports, our first bullet point, as traditionally is the case, I'll pass it along down the table to our treasurer, Mr. Zeke Allison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me, before you begin, I'd like to take a moment and just acknowledge Mike Riley has just joined us as well. Thank you, Mike. Good to see you, sir. No worries. You can't control that traffic on 95. We know that. That's the truth.
And actually, I need to amend my motion with one change, with my glasses on, that says that the fundraiser is for the children. It is for the Capital campaign. So excellent. Just to amend that, whoever made the second, it's on page 2, the 5-year celebration planning. This fundraiser is for the children. While yes, it is for the children, the greater cause is the Capital campaign.
It's duly noted. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't think
it looks the same without your glasses.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Zeke, Mr. Allinson, thank you very much, sir.
Sure. So even though we're in December here, we're looking at the October financial results because we don't have the November numbers yet. The end of October represented a third of the year having passed, and the expenses were at about 37%. So a little bit of spending outpacing the amount of time, but we're still well within our budget, and are projecting a surplus at the end of the year, in addition to the 2% that the state requires us to set aside, plus the 25,000 that we put into our building maintenance reserve, and an additional let's see here, an additional $138,000 being the 2% reserve, the 25, and then our operating contingency of about 72. Thank you. We're still looking to end the year with a surplus of about $460,000, I believe. $468,000. That's up over our projection in the preliminary budget of $239,000. So things are trending positively overall. The main explanation for why is because of the state recalculation of the funding formulas for charter schools. Gave us a windfall of like $158,000. We're also trending above revenue on the local side for almost $100,000. And there's still some additional adjustments set to kick in that should be to the positive. So, unless anyone has a particular question about a particular expense item, revenue or expense item, there's not much really to talk about, which, you know, is good news.
Mr. Allison, thank you very much.
So I guess I would ask for a motion to approve the web report and the does the narrative go on the website? The web report and the narrative, to put them both up on the website for October. And then we'll have November at the next meeting.
Excellent. And just one quick question. I know you mentioned that revised surplus is the 468 number.
Yes,
is that correct?
That's right.
I just wanted to reconfirm that. Thank
yes.
you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, comments, or concerns? Thanks again, Zeke. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the report from the team around our reporting for the month of October. Any questions at all, comments, or concerns? Excellent. And I believe, Zeke, you called for a motion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Excellent. So at this time, I'll hear any motion with respect to reporting for October 2018 and financial narrative and posting to the web report and the narrative as well to the website.
So moved.
Jed Donahue, so moved.
Second.
Second. Mr. Mike Riley, thank you both very much. We appreciate that. All in favor of the motion on the table, report with an aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? So moved. Excellent. Thank you very much. We'll move through our agenda. We have some fun to get to at the end of the board meeting tonight, right? So we want to make sure that we do that. Development Committee, I know we have listed here Development Chair, but I do believe we have a few folks maybe speaking on development this evening. I'm not sure the order.
I'll primarily just...
So we'll touch on that.
We mentioned, as Kira and my stead last meeting mentioned, we had made a slight change to the annual fund timing. Again, we'll be doing major communications about that in the new year rather than this time of year. But again, we are the main focus of the Development Committee and the larger board and our community members who are here today and many others is the Night in the Gala, Night in the City Gala at the end of March. This is a capital campaign fundraising event. I'm going to kick it over to my able colleague, Courtney, who is spearheading that event for us, and she can provide a more detailed update.
So it's the five-year anniversary. I'm hesitant to call it a gala because we're not serving dinner. It's not black tie. So that's just something to talk about maybe on Monday. So the goal is to raise $50,000, and we need to really talk about how we're going to do that because the ticket sales, because they need to be low, the ticket costs, because we're not serving dinner and it's a cash bar. So we have to think about those things. So what we really need to do is to get sponsors. And so this is a very rough draft created, actually not even by me, by Rebecca Phillips, who graciously donated her time to help me figure this out. I handed everybody the rough draft. If everybody could maybe just take a look at it, and we really need the board members to be going to businesses and people that you know to ask if they would want to be a sponsor for the event, because it's the only way we're going to raise $50,000. Say that again.
Date?
March 29th. Okay.
Barbara can sponsor
your
table.
We take cash or check. so it would look something like this. It'll be nicer looking, and we'll get it printed on some nice paper, a little brochure kind of thing. But this would be the idea. I think the words need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what it's actually for, that you kind of created this morning.
Yeah, because I think, you know, and we'll talk about it more on Monday night, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, to your point about stating the purpose, it's actually not the first annual. We've had other fundraising events, so I think it's more focusing on the five-year celebration than
mm-hmm.
the first annual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So things like that, but we can get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, it's more of like this part is what
I have some things
everybody to
focus on.
Focus on.
Right.
Because the goal is to get this printed and ready for distribution next week.
Are you looking for any input at the Monday evening meeting, or are you going to give it out at the Monday evening meeting and say go forth
I'm
and prosper?
I'm hoping to give it out on.
Okay, I have input, so I can give it to you.
Okay. Say,
I do have input.
Okay.
So I can help with that a little bit when you're ready.
Whenever.
Okie doke. I can give it to you offline. I have it marked up.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So, in terms of the purpose, development here or elsewhere, are we going to be specific and say this is for the capital campaign, or is it for the general fund, the general operating purposes?
For the capital campaign, but I think we need to be specific on what that even means.
Yeah.
People don't know.
Mm-mm. It's true.
And I sent out the phase three. I sent out to everybody, I think, right? Did I send out to everybody? Did I send out to you guys?
What is it?
The new brochure. I just updated. I updated the original brochure. Maybe I just sent it to development.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a starting place of what phase three looks like, so that everybody has some language around that. It's not fancy by any means.
I think that'll be helpful on Monday night, though, for that general audience who is needing to understand what they're fundraising for and hoping for. So I think that'll be great.
Mm-hmm. And we also started to break down what that bigger number, what that looks like in terms of different parts, right? So we talked about the capital campaign at phase three looking at raising about $500,000, and $50,000 of that being from this event, essentially. The annual fund being another $50,000, grants and foundations being $200,000, and from the FSBA surplus, another $200,000 was what we originally like earmarked. So coming back to that at some point, making sure that that's still what everybody thinks and comes up with. And certainly if we raise more, that brings down what comes out of the operating budget. But that was the original kind of target of where that 500 came from. This isn't the most recent numbers. The most recent of the, so of the annual fund where we're talking about raising about 50, I think we're up to like 17, 18 right now. Obviously the five-year event has zero grants. We're at about 16,000 right now, the 200,000 in foundations, and then the FSA. So we're at about 35,000 right now of the 500,000 that we're looking for. Just to give some hard numbers. On phase three.
On phase three.
Noted.
Courtney, any other items? First of all, thank you, you know, and the team,
Jed,
everybody for taking. You know, I was unable to make the last development meeting, but was obviously there for the I think the first two. Or it all runs together now, right? Sometimes, some nights, some meetings, right? That stated, though, I did want to take a moment. If you were done, I don't want to cut you off, but if you were done, I want to take a moment to address this as well.
Yep, I'll just any feedback.
Great.
I would love, and I will definitely be sending you some, everybody here, some brochures to be passing out, handing to
some. Because the expectation is that the entire board is really engaged and involved in this big. Sorry, am I jumping into where you're going?
I'll touch on that. Please, Angela, go right ahead first, and then
I just had a quick question about the annual report. Is that public information at this point? Are we allowed to use that as like data to back up any claims that we're making?
Yes.
Okay.
Once we vote on it in a few minutes.
Okay.
It'll go on our website.
Sorry.
And it's there. It's on the state website as well after the vote tonight.
Okay.
Marketing material.
Right. It's all succinctly stated, right. And it's beautifully put, and everything's all in one place, so it gives you that place to talk from, which is helpful to all of us on the board and also all the committees that are working hard on behalf of this. So
we have, thank you, Angela. We have, as a board, we have a group, a full body, right? Everyone may or may not be aware of folks who have been working on the runway items. Associated with this event that we have in front of us here that's coming up, quite honestly, probably quicker than we all realize, myself included. March 29th, right? So a lot of planning that still has to happen, a lot of expenses, et cetera. In these runway meetings associated with the development team's work, we've had some good support from our parent community, and actually even our community around us, right, and within the local community. So folks just pitching in, showing up, lending time, talent, relationships, et cetera. I think it's really important that we take really good look at the sponsorship levels with the understanding that they may change a little bit, language may change, what have you, but I think the effort around them doesn't change, right? And that's really the gist and the crux of what they're presenting to us today, based on the work from the runway coming into tonight's meeting. So what am I saying? I'm saying that explicitly really want to make sure we have a meeting coming up on Monday, December 10th. The email around this meeting went out, 3 days ago, easily, to the full board about participating, showing up, rolling up our sleeves and getting involved. As I mentioned, I've been at maybe some of the earlier ones, was unable to make the last one, but I think it's very important. We haven't seen the level of board participation around this event that we really, the planning of this event that we really want to see, and quite frankly, we need, right? As a statement to the rest of the community that is showing up for these planning sessions on our behalf, on the school's behalf. So very, very important. We understand that it's difficult. We understand that the time commitment is significant. I've just had my own conversations around that. So believe me when I tell you, we get it. But December 10th, that is next week, Monday. 6:30, and we will be meeting in this building right upstairs. I will be there. I have my sleeves rolled up and my thinking cap on, right? There are a lot of great ideas being circulated around, but at the end of the day, there are a significant amount of tasks associated with getting us to the finish line in the right way to maximize the opportunity to celebrate our school, to celebrate our accomplishments, to celebrate the children, and to move forward with what we just described as phase three of what has been a few years campaign here and work. All right, so I know it's difficult sometimes to see the pot of gold, if you will, at the end of the rainbow, but we're getting there. We are getting there. We started talking about this, Yvonne, 2 years ago, right? And we didn't know how exactly we would get even where we are right now. It wasn't, you know, this is a lot less navigation and a lot more wayfinding in some ways. But at the end of the day, we have the goal in mind. We know where we want to go, and we need to push our efforts there to get there. So let's, you know, let's all just recommit ourselves to what we know is important, to the reason why we joined this board. And right now there is, let me just be explicitly clear, there is no more important thing on our table right now than making sure that we get out, speak to sponsors, potential sponsors, people who don't want to sponsor, and tell them why they should, and let them know there is a lot of great work happening in this school, and we want to get behind it and support it, okay? I hope to see us all, and those who can, for sure, but I hope to see us all there on Monday at 6:30, ready to participate.
And if your schedule precludes you from attending, please check the supporting material. Will be communicating with us. There'll be marching orders thereafter. So if you can be present, we need to be active.
That's a very good point, Jed. Thank you. I want to actually double down on that point and to say that even if you can't be there, but you have ideas. You have thoughts about how we can participate, how, you know, around programming, what have you. Share them in advance, right? It's a team effort, and we want to make sure all boats rise, okay?
And just further that point, you know, you might have a business you're thinking of or a contact you're not comfortable personally approaching, but you know, any kind of information you can download to Courtney, certainly. And don't be restricted by things like, well, I can't do that myself. You know, there might be other ways to do it.
Thank you, Jed. Courtney, thank you again. Angela, thank you. Thank you, everyone on the board, right? This is not easy. I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves, and definitely sometimes remind other people, we are volunteers. Right, and so I get it, and so this is not a session to chastise anyone. To the contrary, my goal is to help put the target square on in our sights, so that we can be re-energized and come on out. Okay, and I'm sure we'll all answer the call, and I appreciate your efforts. That said, we will begin the next portion of our agenda, which I had just in front of me, and I did something with, and here it is. For me, I also wanted to make a quick comment. It's going to be around, I'm going to ask you all to save the date, so if you would pull out your phones, computers, what have you. This is very, very important date. Save the date, if you will. We are working and have been working behind the scenes around required board training and or retreat. Okay, so if you would all put the first Saturday in February on your calendar as a save the date. We do not have a final confirmation yet, but we are working towards that. That is February 2nd, Saturday, February 2nd. Okay.
So that's a requirement to be on the board, is that you participate in board training every 3 years. So for some of us, that's coming up. We do it as a board together. Mm-hmm. If you aren't present, my understanding was from our meeting today is that you have to actually then figure out a way to do it on your own. And I was hearing schools trying to figure that out today and trying to pursue different options and having board members trying to pursue different options. So it's one that I think can get really tricky if you're trying to figure it out on your own. And we as a board are covering the cost for that day to bring somebody into the school. And I'm hearing that the cost to do individual training is between $300 and $400. So I don't know that we have a budget to cover that. We have a budget to cover the board training on that day. So just to give people that information.
That's $300 and $400 that can go to the capital campaign.
Right on.
Instead.
You can get yourself a nice silent auction
that's right.
thing by a Tammy Board training.
I just think it's important for people to know that that responsibility then is going to fall on them in some ways to get it done.
Because we have to be
comfortable. Is it providing a day? It will be a full day.
Yeah. So let's be clear, right? We're asking for one Saturday, right, out of the year. To sit down and come together, right? And again, we need to make sure that we're committed to exactly what we signed up for, and it is a board requirement, okay? So it's very difficult, as you might imagine, with a 14-member board to try to find time. That's going to be great for everybody. You figure it out, let me know, please. I'll bottle it and sell
February 2nd.
It. But February 2nd is the date that we have... a save the date for now. Look for more information to come very soon once we get a final confirmation, et cetera. The snacks, we can all come together. We'll put some
you can come in your jammy
bottoms put
if
some
you
food
want
on the table and we'll hang out
and we'll
do our required board training, okay? I wanted to make sure that we let everybody know as soon as we got that tentative date. All right.
There will apparently be some pre-work as well, so we're waiting to find out what the whole structure of
always
the day looks
pre-work,
like.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll keep more to come.
Fruitful.
Indeed, more to come. So we'll move through the rest of our agenda. We're making some very good progress here. Ahead of school report, we have two bullet point items that we're going to touch on. One is the presentation of our financial audit. The other is the annual report review. I'll turn it over to our wonderful head of school, Courtney Fox.
So Pam is here.
Hi, Pam.
Barbara Kane, who does our audit your financial statements. And she's got some information for us tonight. She's going to kind of go over with us.
Good to see you again, Pam.
Oh, it's great to be in this building.
Yeah,
congratulations.
We're getting there. Thank you.
This is great. Last year we were in one of the rooms over the other building. And I think the year before that we were upstairs in the room and needed some help. So congratulations.
Yes.
This is phenomenal, really is. A lot of hard work, I know, has gone into getting you to this point. It sounds like you have a lot more to go, so you're on a roll. So what I'm handing out to you tonight is just a summary of the audit results. Okay, the audit reports were delivered back in the beginning of October because, as you may or may not know, or if you've never been on the board before, they are required to be submitted to the state of Delaware by October the 1st. They were all, your reports are all on time. We submitted them to the Department of Education, the Auditor's Office, and the Department of Finance, the Accounting Department. Because your results of your audit go into, believe it or not, the whole state of Delaware's comprehensive annual financial report. So you're like a dot in the state, but you are represented there, and that's why they have those deadlines so that those can be met. This year was a little bit of a challenge. You might remember if you were on the board a couple of years ago, we implemented new accounting standards that had to do with pensions. That first year of implementation was very difficult because the state, including everybody, getting those reports came down to the wire. This year, there was another new standard, and I promise this is the last one for a really long time, that had to do with post-employment benefits, okay, not retirement, but other benefits that your employees receive after they upon retirement, which meant another actuarial study, another set of audits at the state level. We got that in the ninth hour. In order to get it into your reports, so much so that the Department of Education had given us a deadline extension, but we made it, you know, so your reports got in on time. We just wanted to be able to say that we made it. So so what I handed out to you is just a summary. I'm just going to walk you through that summary. If you have any questions, please ask. As I said, this is as of last year. Just put into your frame of reference, this is as of June 30, 2018. So this is last year we're going to talk about a little bit. Okay, so if you go to page 2, page 1 is just an intro letter. Page 2 is your audit summary. We were on site, as I mentioned, your audit's been done. We were on site in August and completed the field work. For any of those of you who may have been through a process like this before with the company or inside of a company, you can appreciate that August is pretty tight. Your year ends June 30th. But Courtney and her team, you know, really, she coordinates, everybody gets their act together, they get everything together that we need, which makes it possible for us to be on site and do what we need to do. We did issue unmodified or clean opinions on your governmental, your total entity, as well as your major fund, which is your general fund. For you, you're really small, so those are sort of one and the same, although the accounting presentation is a little bit different. And then there's supplementary information because the state likes to see how your funds break out between your state funds, federal funds, and local funds. And so we do look at that in addition, and also your budget, how your budget compares to your actual results. And that's a part of that audit report also. The results of that audit, we had 4 adjusting journal entries, which isn't very many, and most of those really had to do with chewing up your prepaid rent. You know, those things come down right to the wire. So there's always a couple of adjustments that happen between June 30th and by the end of the year, you know, the audit period, just because things come in at the last minute. We did find that your internal control systems are working effectively. We detail test transactions around payroll, disbursements or expenditures. Your revenue cycle is pretty straightforward because, as you know, your revenue kind of goes through the state system. And most of it, the majority of your revenue is an allocation of the state funds from one bucket to your bucket. So we do verify all of that with the state and make sure that the state's accounting system does appropriately allocate funds, you know, to your bucket. And as I mentioned, we did report a time. If we go on to the next page, again, I'm just going to give you a snapshot of where we stand in June 30th of 2018, and I'm going to attempt to explain a little bit of the impact of those new accounting standards and why, and I'll tie this in for you, why that capital campaign that you're contemplating is really important. Okay, I'm going to give you some context around that as it relates to your financial statements. So when you look at page 3, when you look at that top box that's it's called cash, capital assets, and net deficit. Now you just talked about your monthly financial statements and how you stand right now. Think in terms of cash. I have available cash. We spend it for things like our salaries, our benefits, supplies, rent, okay? And that's your budget you're used to managing. Your financial statements also include capital things, like the $700,000 you spent last year for capital, right? So now we're capitalizing those things and depreciating them over their life. It's not in your budget, that what you spent's in your budget, but now in the bigger picture, we've got the capital assets captured. You also have, so when you look at this first box, that's why when you look at that second set of bars, your capital assets increased from $409,000 last year to $1.2 million this year because of that investment that you had, okay, in capital. Your cash and pool cash is going to be the same regardless. Because cash is what you have available resource. So at the fund level, that's going to be the same. Your cash position changed slightly from $1,754,000 to $1,678,000, which, by the way, takes into account the fact that you spent $700,000. So good job on your cash. Now that last bullet over there is called net deficit. That doesn't sound good, right? Net deficit means we are like way in the hole. This is taken into account. We're going to look at it here on the next page. This takes into account the fact that you have liabilities sitting on your books that you're not funding currently because they're pension obligations in the future. You're not required to fund them. What you're required to do is make your a contribution to the pension plan as dictated by the state. That's in your benefits rate. You've met that obligation. There's no issues there, but you have to pick up your piece of the unfunded pension liability. With the new rule, you now have to pick up your piece of unfunded post-employment benefits. The state of Delaware has a pension trust fund, and they do actively work to fund the pension with contributions. The post-employment benefits work a little bit differently. Post-employment benefits, there is no big trust like the pension. The state pays those as they incur them. That's not uncommon in governments for governments to pay those types of benefits as they're incurred, which means if you don't have trust fund assets like we do in the pension, we have a liability, that means the liability is going to be higher. So that's going to have a significant impact. That's why your net deficit went from $5 million last year to $5.6 million this year, because we had to pick up that extra liability. Again, not required to fund it, but it does sit there. Now let's look at the bottom bar, much better. For Ludville. Yes.
On those increase of long-term liabilities. Are we covering our obligation by our annual contribution, or is there some future date where the school will have to contribute some higher amount?
Well, there's a future date that potentially the entire state of Delaware, every employee
right.
participating, you know, where you're at risk is, you're at risk for the contribution increasing. So if the performance of the plan doesn't do what it should do, if the demographics of who's in the plan change dramatically, all of those things change that actuarially determined liability, and all of those things can impact what the state chooses to fund. Keep in mind, as a charter school, it really is confusion, which is why I'm going to tie in for you the need for capital campaign to build your capital, because the bad part is when you have to pick that up, and then you have to go as a charter school that does not receive funding from the state for capital, like other public school does. Now, you have to go, and you have to go to your local bank, your local foundation, and when they see those liabilities, the question you just had is a question they have. A liability is a liability if I'm a financial person. At some point, you're going to have to pay that. Well, the reality is, at some point, the whole state's going to have to reconcile the pension. Whether they increase funding to it, which means your contribution from the state, your funding is going to have to change. So it's kind of in the long run, it's a little bit of a wash. You know, you don't have to go raise new money to cover that. But it certainly does make it very difficult. And we have charter schools in the state of Delaware who have struggled tremendously because their capital needs, the only way they've had to fund them is to borrow money. We had a charter school in Delaware this year that just lost a USDA loan because of this liability. So it's real. You know, being able to support yourself from a capital perspective, I can't stress how to you. If it's hard work to run a fundraiser, explaining these financial statements is even harder. I've been through these conversations with foundations in Delaware. I've been through these conversations with bond markets in Delaware, with charter schools. It's very difficult. So, the good news is at the bottom of that page. Did that answer your question?
Yep, that helps. Thank you.
At the bottom of the page is your fund balance. Now these are available resources to you. Okay, so this is your general fund. The first two columns are pretty nondescript. You have a few dollars that are segregated for specific things, but your unassigned fund balance is what you really want to focus on. Your unassigned fund balance did decrease from 2017 to 2018, but still it's very good. Still you're close to $1 million. And remember, it decreased because of that $700,000 that you put in the capital. So you still have a good fund balance position, just like you still have a good cash position. That's where you want to focus people's attention when you're talking to a funding agency or someone trying to get you the funds from. We're stable. We're able to manage this. We need more to get it done, but we're able to manage it.
One other question.
Yes.
I saw the notes to restricted, committed, other classifications.
Right.
What is the value from your perspective when you designated one restricted versus, like, you have the fundraiser at school for phase three? How do we best do that from a value standpoint? Is it should be committed or restricted or what?
Right. So it's gonna, if you're raising money from a donor, from a third party, and you tell them. That's a good question, because I was actually going to maybe circle back, you know, after this meeting. But if you're telling a donor, we are raising money for a capital need, it's restricted. Okay, so that should be restricted. You should set that aside and restrict it to that purpose so that they can see that you spend it on that purpose. Okay. The other thing you can do is, like, if you want to say as a board, we want to take $100,000 and we're going to commit that to capital, and we're not going to, you're not allowed to, Courtney, you're not allowed to use it for anything else. That's a commitment. You can do that within a board, at a board level. Restricted is external, committed is internal. Okay? That's the distinction. Going on to page four, here's where we just kind of look at those, again, those pension obligations and post-employment obligations. And you'll see here from 2017 to 2018, how those numbers have changed. They're hard to get your head wrapped around, to be honest. Your net pension liability You can see from 2017 to 2018, the net pension liability did increase a little bit. But look at the post-employment benefits. Those numbers are just huge because the state's not funding. So that's sitting on your balance sheet, but once again, not something you have to currently fund. At the bottom of the page, just to give you a perspective, the percentage funded, this is on the pension plan. So you can see in 2016, the first year that we talked about this, the plan was over 92% funded. And at that time, I said to you, for a state pension plan,
it's pretty strong.
That's good. That's like really good. Well, it's kind of going the wrong direction now. It's down to 85%, which still isn't horrible. But, you know, that's how those trends go, because it's long-term. Okay, just to touch on the last couple pages, as you know, you have to go by you're measured at the state level by the financial performance framework. So whenever we do the audits, we always kind of run your numbers through that just to see where you come out. And you're looking pretty good there. If you look at page 5, you'll see that for the metrics 1, 2, and 3, you meet the standard. 4, you don't have any debt, so you don't have an issue there. The top of the next page, your margin. Okay, this is falling below standard because that margin includes those liabilities just by the way the state's done the definition. We've had many conversations with the Department of Education, and they do get it. Okay, so they understand that. It really, they understand it better than some of the third parties that, you know, we see taking your statements and trying to.
And that's pretty much across the board.
Everybody's the same boat. Everybody's in the same boat. We hope that we're going to be able to work with that. Maybe reframe this, some of these calculations a little bit.
Well, if I may, Pam,
yes.
That's what I wanted to ask that question, right? Around, so this is, as we mentioned, affecting the entire state. One, two, they are obviously seeing the impact that this is having on balance sheet for schools, right? So you just spoke about a conversation happening potentially. What's the temperature though right now? They understand it and that's fine, but maybe they did not. I mean, as you mentioned, the percentage is
right.
Not necessarily significant, but how it impacts
the dollar
on the balance sheet is, right?
Right.
And so I don't want to say the plan because that sounds a bit rigid and for
right.
With the understanding that it's very fluid.
Right.
But what's the conversation looking like?
Well, from the department's perspective, any conversations that we've been part of, which center around these types of things,
yes.
Have actually been better than it was 3 years ago. I mean, we do see, just like them extending the deadline,
right.
You know, they really do seem to have more of a grasp on the charter schools, and they seem much more cooperative, and if that's the right word,
right.
But they just seem open to conversation. Where I don't think they put their toes into, and I'm not sure what they could do, but the issue of charter schools struggling with capital because of their financial statements, I don't know, based on current laws, what they can do.
Mm.
So we don't see a lot of conversation.
So the conversation sounds like it needs to happen at the legislative side.
We just
if
don't
anything
see that
else.
Conversation.
It
I
is.
Just think
and hopefully
be
move towards
to be able to do that.
Then move towards the execution administration.
People are all across the board recognizing that.
It just hasn't been fixed yet. I mean, losing the USDA has a loan program
mm-hmm.
that has benefited a lot of charter schools.
Sure.
Like governments in general in Delaware, the charter schools especially, that was a big blow.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, going to push that conversation.
I was going to say, hopefully it's a watershed
hopefully,
moment, right? To
yeah. Yeah.
Move the needle a bit.
The other thing, your cash flow number 7 says approaching standard. Keep in mind, again, the way they write these bullets, your cash flow, of course, your cash flow dipped last year because you spent $700,000 on capital again. So it's just not capital focused, some of these calculations, and so I don't think it's really anything, you know, that's not explainable. And then lastly, the last 2 pages just kind of, again, summarize for you the results of our audit, the fact that we did not see any indications of internal control weaknesses, we didn't see any indications or red flags, if you will, from a fraud or irregularities perspective. I mentioned earlier we had a couple of adjustments, and so with that being said, I will entertain any questions. I just would finalize my comments with thanking you for the opportunity to work with you. I think most of you know we work with the majority of the charter schools in Delaware. We're very much committed to these and other issues related to the charter environment. You know, there have been some improvements, and we've been happy to be a part of that. And so we hope that it continues and that your success continues. So if you have any questions?
Pam, thank you for a great presentation, as always.
As always, yes.
My concern about these reports is that they're not that useful anymore.
I won't take that one.
It has nothing to do with fire game. Would it be permissible to break these reports out in a way that talks about the financial performance of the school, but for the deferred pension and OPEB liabilities, and then another one maybe with it, so that we could have a better snapshot of how the school's actually doing? Or is that just not permitted within the account structure?
If you look at the actual report, okay, this is a summary just because the report's so big. But in the report, in the audit report itself, there are sections in that report that break it out. So the fund level, if you will, is broken out on pages, I'll give you 12 and 14. There are also budget statements in the back. So the numbers are in here in that presentation format that you can kind of pull out. Page 14. So pages 14 and 16 are really what you're used to seeing. That's the general fund, right? And in the back are budget statements, which also. Now, where you explain that, so like if you're looking at how do we just tell that story, okay, that is told in the very beginning, the management's discussion and analysis, which starts on page 4. So if you're contemplating, and as you move forward with your capital campaign planning, read these few pages. It's supposed to be a narrative that discusses your school. And it certainly, you know, should help to highlight some of the things. Now, again, it's last year, but it still should highlight some of those differences. And we do suggest to people, for example, on page 4, we did suggest some wording to explain the new post-employment benefits rules so that it was kind of clear that it, you know, it's not something that you're not paying attention to. It's all explained there. You know, it's just as I was saying earlier, what happens is when this goes to a bond rating agency, they're financing people. They look at that finance statement and that position, and they go, you have a deficit. And it's challenging. It's possible to explain. Does that help?
It does. The statement of net position includes the overall pension liability.
Yes.
The net change in fund balance on page 16, which shows a decrease from between 18 and 17 of $278,000.
Yep.
That is sort of the number, you know, that I think it tells a truer picture of what's happening with the finances here.
Correct. That's right.
We're spending our surplus.
Well, you spent $800,000 last year on long-term assets. So when I looked at that, I kind of thought, wow, that means that's good.
Yeah.
That means you had $500,000 that you took out of current operations to invest in that. So you're right, though. That's spending some of your surplus.
Thank you.
Which, of course, the devil also looks at that. You know, how much? Don't spend too much surplus. Have a surplus, but.
Don't
spend some surplus.
Don't
spend too much surplus.
He's strategic. When you referred to the department earlier, did you mean Department of Finance or
Education?
So are they contemplating adjusting the financial performance framework in any way to account for the fact that we're far below the standard on total margin, and presumably so is everyone else?
I hope so.
How meaningful is that?
We keep bringing that point up.
In this discussion, I don't think there's
active movement on changing the frameworks right now. They're pretty recently been created. However, what the conversation is, as long as there's an explanation to your ratings, they're not necessarily looking at your end ratings, they're looking at your end ratings with the explanation. So if there's a clear explanation for them, that's what's mattering right now. I think you're right, there's a perception when you look at it, and it's a far below the standard, and you can't tell that it's happening to everybody, that it seems a little bit, it's certainly not the perception that we want, but it's not hurting us necessarily in terms of our authorizer judging what's going on here, as long as we can explain it.
Right, and they've been much more receptive. They weren't always, so they have been much more receptive to that. The court's point, I really don't know at this point. Remember that the people at the charter school office at the Department of Education, and I don't mean this in any disparaging way because they're great, they do a great job. They aren't financial, they aren't the type of people that can take this document and fully understand it. So some of it is education. Some of it is, like, first we told them the pension liability, you can't count the whole pension liability. Because, and they said, okay. Well, what they didn't know was that the second year, the change between the years went through the statement of activities, affected the income statement, so now that affected another performance framework. So they don't really easily, but they do listen, as Courtney says. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do that. And that's not really part of the audit, to do your financial reporting. But we found over the past couple years that doing it ahead of the game, kind of helped to have everyone be able to explain it. Because not every board is as astute and has members as astute that can really be prepared to explain the variances. And so we kind of started doing that as part of that whole, I don't know if anybody understands.
And they were, I guess the Department of Finance was sort of late trying to get the figures out to you for all the charter schools. Is there any concern about the methodology they're using to allocate this liability?
That's a very, very good question. To which the only thing that we can do as your independent auditors is obtain the audit report that supported those numbers that came from an accounting firm. I think KPMG did the audit on that report. There may be some tweaks to it next year, just because I just happen to know some of the people that worked on that. And so it may be tweaks next year, the allocations. But I don't know that it's going to be a significant impact.
Is it primarily based on the demographic of our current hires?
Your post-employment benefits are based on demographics. It's based on mortality rates. It's based on healthcare trends. It's based on a lot of things. And so the state takes total salaries, and they use some kind of methodology to look at salaries across the board and give everybody a piece. So their report is on their website. You could read it, and they would give you a lot more insight into that than I could.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Zeke.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Pam? As Zeke mentioned initially, as always, thank you very much for thorough report.
Appreciate
we appreciate it very much.
Happy
thank you.
Holidays.
Likewise.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Courtney? The last item on the agenda before we move into our board recognition is the annual report. So the annual report was sent out to everybody to hopefully read ahead of time. It is ready to go with just pending board approval tonight. So the idea was that everyone was reading it ahead of time and that we would be able to vote on approving the annual report as is tonight. Were there any questions or explanations needed around any components of the annual report?
I know you presented some of the data on the student performance a few meetings ago, and you said at that time you were meeting with teachers, and have you done any of that analysis yet? Any insights gained based on last year's results?
Yeah, and Natalie or Sarah, feel free to jump in here too. We, at the beginning of the school year, we do kind of a dig into where we are with the last year's data and what, where we're finding success, what are people doing, and then looking for like partnering people up or partnering grade levels up to figure out which pieces
academic, but just the addition of Laura and Carla has been huge for the K-1 team, and I'm sure everybody else as well.
I think as an observation, the expansion has added the ability to really see how our kids vertically integrate, if you will, and made us even stronger than we anticipated being able to be at the inception. And I think it's magnificent to see it coming to fruition, both from a professional level and how you guys are identifying and working together, and then the impact on our students. It's really phenomenal.
Just as a point of information for the board's edification, I think, Mike, to your question just a moment ago, we can really begin to drill in on that with Section 2.2 on academic achievement. There's some comments around most of the grading that you'll see here that'll be at the bottom of the page that can give context as well. But I just wanted to drive it home for the rest of the board, because I know that was a point that you raised last time, and really echoing a sentiment across the board over maybe the last few years, right? How are we going to perform in math, and what are we going to do differently, or wherever we're maybe challenged, how do we get to where we want to be, right? And I think there's some very good information in here as well with respect to how these questions are answered in the framework.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that we've always wanted to see articulated that's in here too is, we always talked about that mission specific, and are we adhering to our mission? And so one of the things that we have to do is provide documentation on that. Do we have Montessori certified teachers? Are we multi-age classrooms? Is there an extended work period? So they come and they look at our schedule. They look at, I have to submit everybody's certification. So the things that make us an authentic Montessori school, they're judging us on in this. And so I know that was one of the things, especially early on, that we wanted to make sure we were always sticking to those standards. And that's judged in this. Not judged anywhere else, I get, in terms of report outs, but it is judged in this as part of our framework. So that is there too. So please make sure you check that piece out too. And then, Dwayne, if there's no other questions, we would call for a vote on it.
Yeah, I was actually going to emphasize that this is up for vote. You'll see that I've been fortunate enough to jump in and it came to us a little later than we wanted.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I was able to review it actually twice. And thankful for the time to do that.
It is signed pending
our board approval. So I wanted to bring your attention to that as well. So you'll see that it is signed on the second to last page, page 28. So, of course, I do want to allow for another minute or two just for folks to.
I do have one quick question
exactly
about enrollment in terms of the variation from the approved to the September 30th. Some were higher than the approved. How did that work?
So we are allowed to go within 5% up or down of the approved number. Sometimes when we made plans for numbers early on, they didn't always necessarily line up in terms of retaining kids or some things like that. And so it shifted the number of kids in one grade level, and you have to accommodate for it in a second grade level now, which is a little bit more complicated, right? So if you have 5 retentions in first grade, because it's a K-1 classroom, that's 5 less pay invites than you can do the next year. So it shifts and changes, and in order for it to balance out to the right number, sometimes that total number shifted from when we did the ideal, it was based on 78 kids at every grade level, and that's not always necessarily the case.
And retentions meaning a child remains behind, not retention as in we kept
right,
a student in FSMA.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure the vernacular is the same.
Right.
That's versus the rate of re-enrollment. So.
And we also don't, if kids leave at the eighth grade level, we're not filling those spots. Right? We're not bringing a kid in at eighth grade to start necessarily.
Sure.
So.
Does retention affect the re-enrollment rate at all? In other words, so if someone decides to repeat first grade, does that not count? Does that count as a not retained for second grade?
Right. So it opens up a spot in second grade. But it actually will take away a spot in kindergarten almost, because the first grade spots are already filled and you can only go over a certain number. So it's interesting. It's a fun twist at the end of the day that makes numbers very interesting.
Good for you for some numbers.
Any other questions or comments, concerns from our board members with respect to the annual report? Excellent. So may I hear a motion from a member of our board to approve the 2017-2018 annual report for First State Montessori Academy? Mr. Mike Riley, thank you very much, sir. Any second?
I second.
Natalie Marciani, thank you very much for the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Abstention? So moved. Excellent. Courtney, thank you very much. I know this report is not easy to prepare in the midst of actually running a school along with Liz and your team. So thank you very much for the effort and energy put into the thorough preparation, in particular the responses to some of these questions. All right, we move on to the final bullet on our agenda. We have a board recognition.
There's a holding room upstairs.
Waiting to.
Excellent.
So I would propose that we take like a 2-minute break.
Okay.
Let everybody come down and get settled, and then move back into the final bullet point.
And I think maybe we take a. We should probably pause then, I think, and recess for just a moment. All right. Actually, I don't think that requires a motion. So we'll recess for just a moment. We'll make sure that we get all the appropriate people in the room, and then we'll resume, okay? In just a moment. Excellent. Beautiful. And we come back from recess, and it's a new world. We got a totally different audience. Welcome, everyone. And good evening. So first and foremost, thank you very much for your patience upstairs as we wrapped up the first part of our board session. We have a beautiful group of people here for a wonderful, wonderful person. And I couldn't be more excited to be sitting in this seat. So I will take a moment now to turn it over to our head of school, whom you all know, Courtney Fox. She's going to walk us through this section. She and I believe Natalie as well will walk us as a board through this section of the agenda. But happy to see you, Karen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne.
Pleasure.
So welcome, everybody. I'm Courtney Fox. I'm the head of school here at First State Montessori. Each month, we recognize a special person at FSMA. And this month, the recipient of our board recognition is Karen. We're going to celebrate Karen tonight and have some time for families and people to share stories. I'm hoping that I'm expecting that we shed a few tears. I'm hoping that we share a few laughs tonight as well, as we celebrate the impact that Karen has made on so many children, both here and in other places. I do want everyone who wants to share a story to be able to tonight. So I'm gonna kind of set forth a little bit around some format for that to make that possible. To say again that we want everyone who is here to share a story or to speak will absolutely have a chance to do that. We just ask you to recognize that there are a lot of people in the room. And while I think we could probably talk all night and go into tomorrow, we're also going to make an attempt to get out of here tonight at some point. So please be cautious with that. Logistically, what's going to happen is I'm going to share first. Natalie's going to share, and then what we're going to do is open it up for people who would like to share. So what we did is we put a stanchion up here, and we're going to invite people to come up a couple at a time so that our line always has kind of the next person ready, but I don't want everybody who wants to speak to get up and get in line and then have nobody in the audience, right? So we'll just kind of keep that going and making that work. And in a few minutes, we'll open up the floor and invite people to come and share as much as they'd like tonight. So I get to go first, right? I'm going to take you back a few years, 5 years, when I first met Karen. Karen came to an interview, and we were at the Wilmington Library. It was St. Patrick's Day. Happened to be the St. Patrick's Day parade going by outside while we were interviewing Karen. And I went back and looked at my notes from Karen's interview, and I had written down the words professional, passionate, well-rounded. She had great charter experience and Montessori experience. And I made a note about how put together she was. I told her the other day, I can remember what she was wearing. She walked into the room, she had on this like crisp white shirt and tailored black pants and just made this incredible impression of who she was. And I remember that when she left the room, I turned to the group at the table and I said, she is the perfect example of what we are looking for at this school. Karen started here a few months later. She became our go-to 4-5-6 teacher. She was an absolute model of excellence in the classroom. Anytime Lizara had to bring somebody in, we put them in Karen's room. She was absolutely our go-to at the 4-5-6 level. And her classroom was a model for what classrooms were supposed to be. Over time, Karen has become more than my colleague. She's become my friend. She's become a mentor in many ways, and she's become an inspiration in many ways. One of the things that I don't think people know that Karen does is that after meetings or after interactions, she always takes the time to come and whisper to me a note of positivity. Sometimes she'll come up and just tell me she likes what I was wearing, and sometimes she'll come and tell me that something that I said in the meeting made an impact, but she's that person that always takes the time to come and whisper those words of positivity. She also gets mad at me all the time because I don't take care of myself. And it sits on me all the time, to the point that I actually went and had like a physical last year. Karen's yelling at me that I never take care of myself. And I say that because I think the care that she has for all of us is not just, that care for each of us to take care of ourselves is an incredible part of who she is. Karen, I admire you. I want to be like you. I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful for our relationship. I am a better leader and a better person because of my interactions with you every day. FSMA is going to miss you. Yes. We're not letting you leave yet. Karen and I were talking the other day about, like, what can you do in January for us? So we're gonna keep building that relationship, but I just wanted to say thank you for making me a better person.
Thank you.
So, First Aid Montessori is going to each year select someone who's going to be the recipient of a Karen Grandel Backbone Award. So we have a special award that's going to be given every year that the staff is going to vote on. And we call it the Backbone Award because by definition, backbone is the chief supporter, the cornerstone, the foundation, the tower of strength, and the mainstay. And I can think of no better way to think of her as the backbone of this school, someone who so quietly and so solidly is a pillar of incredibleness here. And so this spring, you're going to help us pick them. And then each year, we're going to make sure that we have a Karen Grandel Backbone Award winner that we honor and recognize every year. So thank you so much.
So I'm Natalie Marciani. I was nominated to speak on behalf of the staff. And we all know that Delaware is a small place. The Montessori world is even smaller. So there's people out there like Yvonne Nass and Marie Dugan. And my many years ago when I started, I've heard of this Karen Grandel. I knew of her and her reputation of being her passion for Montessori and the Montessori method is so strong. When we finally did meet 4 years ago, I'm happy to say that I've worked with you. And coming here, a big deciding factor was the fact that you were here, because I knew that the school would be a Montessori school first, which is huge. So as a doe-eyed private school veteran of 25 years, you helped me immensely in the PLC meetings with 16 very strong 4-5-6 teachers. You made them bearable. You added humor, for sure, words of wisdom, and the occasional sense of peace. Which brings us to our first staff gift. So I'm going to quote the myth herself. Peace is what every human being is craving for, and it can be brought about by humanity through the child. That's Maria Montessori. So right now in Michigan, they are building your peace bowl that will be, here we go. So it's not here yet. So it will be put in the plaza, and it'll be in English, Spanish, French, and Hindu. And I have 66 willing volunteers to dig the hole as soon as it comes in and install that. So that'll be out there. The second gift is what every teacher needs, and I wanted to make sure that you get it. No, it's not a bomb. It is titled Take the Trip, Buy the Shoes, and Eat the Cake. And it's really what teachers love the most. But Karen, I want you to know that the greatest sign of success for a teacher is to be able to say that the children are now working as if I did not exist. Know that you have modeled what a great teacher is. Your students are thriving, I know, because I'm with them every day. Know that you are a successful teacher, and all of us here will be carrying on Montessori because you exist. So this is a whole lot of cash. We want you to have fun.
Hannah, hands off, Mom.
So the floor is open for anyone. Courtney, can I just read something?
You absolutely can.
Okay, I'm just going to sit here. And sorry for my shaking, but... So officially, this is the official that I'm leaving. So it is with a sad heart that I need to put aside my teaching career in order to focus my efforts on my health. I've been teaching for close to 20 years, and every one of those years has made me the teacher and parent that I am today. There are not many people in this world that can say they truly love going to work every day. Don't get me wrong, it hasn't always been roses and sunshine, but the good definitely outweighs the bad. The schools I taught in have been one of the reasons my teaching career has been so wonderful. I can remember when I was 18 years old, working in the toddler room at Wilmington Montessori School, where I first knew I was going to be a Montessori teacher and expose Hannah and Peter, at least the early part of their lives, to the Montessori way of learning. As a result, thankfully, both my kids are on the path to being successful citizens of the world. Every school I taught in and the people I taught with have enriched my life. I couldn't think of a better school than FSMA to end my teaching career. Courtney, Liz, and the entire staff here has sacrificed their time and energy to help me whenever I needed it. I'm sorry. Most schools would have let me go years ago, but FSMA has so beautifully afforded me the opportunity to end my career with grace and dignity. I'm so fortunate to be surrounded by so many wonderful colleagues. Never doubt that every person who works at this school is dedicated and committed to the success of every child. The school's culture is one of peace, love, and unity, and I'm so thankful that I had the chance to be a part of this wonderful community of educators. I'm so excited to sit back and watch all that is ahead. Thank you for all your support and help.
Karen, I'm looking forward to the next building you climb.
All right.
That's right. It's more ahead, indeed. So I think, Courtney, we're going to open it up to anyone who may want to.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to.
Somebody's calling in to say something.
So, Karen, I have known you for over 10 years as we worked at WMS together. And I feel such a connection to you. But to be honest, we never worked directly together. We never really socialized out of school. So I was trying to figure out, like, why do I feel so connected to you? And I think it's because of your openness. You have such an open heart and a spark about you that just lights up a room. You are easygoing and so kind and just a sprinkle of sassiness. Well, maybe a little more than a sprinkle. And that's what makes it such an awesome combination. And your bravery is so inspiring. Like, I don't know if everybody knows this, but she rappelled off a tall building in Wilmington.
That's right.
while her students watched. I mean, there was concrete below her. Like, crazy. Who does that? Just know that you have touched so many hearts, both adults and children. And I'm so glad that you chose teaching as a profession. You have impacted so many young lives. And these flowers are from everyone as a representation of you, full of brilliant color and beauty.
I'm not one to really stand at the podium. I love Karen. She was the first person who I talked to as a staff member at FSMA, and she hooked me to be here as well because it's 40 of us. But I talked to Karen and I asked her, is it the real deal? And she said it is. So I have loved being able to be partners near Karen, around Karen. She does have that bright light that everybody wants to be around, and she has that kind of I got you feel. And she just spread it all over whenever she is near us. So I'll talk to her. I love her.
Knew each other inside and out, and I know that it was God that brought us together.
I like Courtney. Remember what Karen was wearing the day I came in for my interview, and you were wearing your black FSMA shirt. So it must have been a Friday. And we just worked together seamlessly. I mean, it took work. It was like a marriage. We were together all the time, and I know the impact that you've had on me is immense as a person and as a teacher. And I can only hope that your inspiration carries on through me now as I go out and use, even now I'm using morning meeting tricks that I knew that I learned from Karen, and okay, I have 10 minutes, what do Karen do? And I just want to thank you for that. I feel like the mood needs lightening a little bit. I thought of my favorite Karen story. We were moving from the other building into this building, and if you're with us then, we filled up our cribs with all of our stuff, and we're trying to cross Front Street with these cribs, and our big crib of board games fell off, and there's pieces flying all down Front Street, and Karen and I, being the practical people we are not losing these pieces, so we're literally dodging cars on Front Street to get to, like, the Scrabble board, and we always named it the Great Boggle Debacle, and I never laughed so hard, and that is right. The joy.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
So if I may, I think the Cornerstone is an awesome representation of you because I get to see you from the outside looking in into the classroom. And while everyone talks about how you impact children, you impact adults, because your grace with the kids makes all of us want to do better with our own kids and with the children we get to work with here. And how I got to see all this was because in the other building that Julie notes, you were the corner office.
Right.
And anywhere you had to go on the third floor, you got to see your greeting every morning. So we all learned something every day. We knew what was relevant about that day. And I have to say, when you moved over here, I got a little dumber. Megan and I, on our way into school, could answer questions on WSTW because we'd seen your board the day before. So that cornerstone was awesome. But even more so, at that time, we were volunteering and moving things and doing things. So I would see you with your kids, and in my mind's eye, when I think of you, I think of you in that room with these peanuts behind you and Topher, who isn't here this evening, because for some reason I was always here when you guys were having silent reading or you were reading to them.
Yeah.
And so when I see you, you were the fulcrum of those children, and you were sharing with them all the words that everybody's talked about tonight. You were inspiring them and caring for them. And showing them how to be well put together, and they were admiring you, and there was love and some sassiness going on, because I love the exchanges that I could see. But the thing that you left me with was, no matter what was going on for you, you always put on your best face and your best foot forward. I asked you as we were going out for Thanksgiving this year, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving, and you wished me one even better. Like, it was, you are my warrior, you are my example. And you have made it inspiring to be here every single solitary day. Thank you for being a founder with me. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I'm coming around.
Nothing better than hearing from the children themselves, right?
How about the mamas of that children?
That's a really hard act to follow. feel like she's almost like the third parent. I'm the daughter of educators, so I know how much love and hard work is in being a teacher. I know what a good teacher is. I know what an excellent teacher is. I know there's many wonderful teachers here at the school. I think the world of Karen, like, she is one of my most favorite human beings that I have ever met.
Yep.
My kids just love her so unbelievably much. You know that. And Annie's right. I mean, look, we all knew you have, you know, you may or may not have, you know, I knew you were going to be in and out this year. I didn't care. I told Courtney, I'm like, I want Annie to have Karen. Look what she did for Maris. So, thank you. And one other thing I'm going to say is, if I'm having a bad day, I wake up and I'm feeling great. I'm like, look what Karen does every day. She perseveres. She shows up. She just powers through everything. So I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people. And one other thing is, my kids don't even know this, but sometimes I'll text Karen and say, call me. I want to ask you a question. I want to talk to you about the kids. Hang up with her. I feel like I'm talking to, you know, about the kids. Mm-hmm. And then poor Karen's probably like, all right. And then I talk to her like she's a friend. I just keep going on and on and on. So I hope that we can continue those conversations.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Absolutely.
That was what I forgot.
Okay, so first I want to read a message that was given to me during TO from my lovely guest's mom. Dear Karen, Steve and I so wish we could be here in person tonight, but we couldn't. So we've sent our daughter with your daughter. How lovely. We wanted to thank you for causing us to learn about the Montessori teaching philosophy and practices. We're so deeply grateful that you continue to encourage us in this direction. Thanks to you, Brooke's first school experience was everything we could hope for as parents. Brooke loves learning and nature, strives for independence, and is open and accepting of others. We would not have found Montessori without you. We are grateful for your wisdom and your passion to not just help Brooke, but so many other children. And we know that our story is just one story in all the children and families that you've positively impacted. Thanks to you, we will not do as a child as they can do for themselves.
Your throat. I'm a bear.
Congratulations on making such an impact on so many. Much love and hugs, Jennifer, Steve, and Brooke. And then I just wanted to read something. Mom, I couldn't ask for a better role model to look up to. Thanks for passing down your humor, athleticism, and your beautiful singing voice. Your perseverance through the hardest times in your life with a smile and an unwavering attitude is an inspiration to me. Yeah. And everyone you came into contact with. It's no surprise that so many people are here to honor you tonight. And I know that the list of people whose lives you've impacted, not only with teaching, but just by being you, is endless. And there's many more names to be added to that list. Love you, Mom. Thanks for making me who I am today.
I love you. So
and I was just thrilled. And I don't really know too many people here, other parents, but every parent that I've met, they say, who do your kids have? And when I tell the teachers and I say Karen, every single one has told me how you've impacted their child.
Right.
And I know, because you've impacted my child. You are a gift. And I thank you because you've made my life and my daughter's life better. Thank you.
Thank you.
Drive safe.
So Karen is the reason I'm at FSMA. You're my bridge here. We first met each other working at the Philadelphia Montessori School. And at that time I was a lower elementary teacher and Karen was upper. Karen was always just this total model for me. I just had such an immense amount of respect for her as a teacher and just as a person. And I knew that when my third graders would move up to Karen's room, I knew they were just in the best hands. When I decided to change my school, I contacted Karen. Karen was like, come here. coming here, I could not ask for a better person to just be that familiar face here. I'm across the hall from Karen. Popping into each other's rooms. Careful to pop into Karen's room too much because walk into Karen's room and I'll take Karen's room like, ah! you're a total inspiration to me. I model my teaching after the way you interact with the kids. I feel really lucky to have had both of these experiences with you.
I'm Melissa. I have been a Montessori teacher for 18 years, and for a large percentage of that time, I have been across the hall from Karen. Karen is kind of like my rock. I'm the teacher I am because of the person that you are. And we've done a lot of stuff together. Like, we've co-taught, we've partner-taught, we've been across the hall, we've co-presented at an AMS conference in Chicago together. We've spent time at the beach together. Like, our lives just kind of keep doing this. And most of you don't know that Karen drove 500 miles into the middle of nowhere, Ohio, to come to my wedding many years ago. And so, I just wanted to say that I feel that Karen is just, there's just so much light and energy and warmth and goodness in her. And clearly everyone here knows that. But I do feel that you've affected children and also everyone who's ever worked with you. And I feel blessed to have spent so much of my career across the world.
So when I came here and I met you, I felt everything that everyone's saying here, that, you know, I just felt like this connection with you, even though we never worked. I just knew that you were a rock that I could always go to. And one of the best compliments I've ever got was Callie right here moved from my class to your class. And I said, oh, you have another Karen. How's that? And she said, you're pretty similar. And that was one of the greatest compliments that I ever felt. So I just want to thank you for being part of my life and for being an inspiration.
Following that, I'm Bradley's mom. I have really something quick to say because she's kind of like, what are you doing? So she wrote a 3 or 4 page letter for you. And as she's writing it, she's saying,
And, you know, other than my mom, you are. I know how she feels about you. And it's not just her. It's all the kids that you've ever had. And I knew that when she came to school and she was in your classroom, that you helped carry my load of parenting her.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that made all the difference.
Thank you.
That said it all, didn't it?
So everybody's talking about what an inspiration and all of that. Well, this woman was mine. I modeled a lot of my teaching after Shelley. Shelley is the most peaceful person that I've ever met, and I've always wanted to teach like you. So I wanted to thank you tonight.
Let's give Shelley a round.
What we did was drive back and forth from here to New Rochelle. We drove up there every Sunday afternoon, drove back every Friday evening, and got to know each other, roomed next door to each other, got to know each other. But the thing that I think about when I think about those trips and about that experience was, for some reason, we always had a ton of stuff to carry. Like when we were leaving, we'd get in my truck, but to get there, we were carrying so much stuff for some reason. Sometimes it was the cafeteria giving away cases of water, and we insisted on taking those cases of water home. And somewhere along the walk, something would start to fall, and we would laugh, and everything would fall. I think it was because it was the end of the week, and we were really tired, but that's what I think about when I think about training.
Oh, yeah. Totally
remember that. For those moments. And if you haven't ever done the witch song, you guys have done it, right? Your
chicken and a chicken.
Oh, chicken and a chicken.
Oh,
chicken.
Yeah.
But it's the old witch.
Yeah.
Chicken song. You got to do it. And you have to do it with all the staff before you leave.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing
is
at my family parties, trust me.
That's too funny. Thank you, Shelly.
Anyone else? I just want to make sure.
I want to say something.
Absolutely.
I'm Kim. I'm a child in front of Karen's. I have no conversation with my daughter. I was up on that boat with Karen. And, you know, it was cold and it was raining and we were nervous as can be. And we were trying to talk to each other and wanting to go over the edge. We went to this thing for Special Olympics. And we're both up there and, you know, we're trying to get our courage up. And we hear this noise. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, go close as they would let us get to the edge because we're harnessed on. And the sea of kids chanting Karen's name. I was like, I'm inspired by this. Like, I love this.
Right.
It showed. I was just like amazed at all these kids that come down and they're just chanting. And there was so much energy and so much love coming from everybody. And I'm like, yeah, these kids just absolutely love Karen.
That was great. Thanks, Kimmy.
So I think it is clear that there is true love for all that you've done, and I think that it is clear that the impact that you have made is exponential. And I don't think if we tried to quantify that, we could even come close. When you talk about kids and families and staff who then impact kids and families and schools and all of those circles as they grow. I love hearing stories of you in other places. I think it just reminds us of that you were the backbone in everywhere that you were, and this cornerstone and this pillar and this model for all of us. I think that we are all better people for knowing you. I said I'm a better leader, I'm a better mother, but we are better people because of the light that you have shared with us. And tonight is a chance for us to just say thank you and to recognize the incredible impact that you have had on all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
the kids.
That's the scary part.
Karen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You know,
much
obviously, you are loved and will be missed. Stick around a little bit, right?
Sure.
Come back and come back and see us, please.
Yes, I will.
Excellent, excellent. We do have just the last bit of housekeeping, and that would be a motion to adjourn from our board.
Motion to adjourn.
That's Angela Angeli. And did I hear a second?
Yes.
Natalie Marciani. We are adjourned at 7:58. Everyone.